What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. King's Island is now open weekends.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
We are back with episode 76 of the Ricky Henderson Podcast, the greatest of all podcasts in GUAP. I'm your host, Alex Espinoza, with my co-host, Dr. Hal Gordon.
Hot dog!
And Hal is officially started his new job, folks. Last week, he did you hang up your red and white jersey thing? Like, where is that thing now?
I think it's somewhere in my closet, but yeah, you know, if anyone's looking for a valuable piece of Oakland baseball history, you know, we can start the bidding at $100,000.
Yeah, you could just send it to Cooperstown, like the cell shirt, you know, you just be immortalized.
That's right. Yeah.
But so
Cooperstown,
yeah,
has $100,000. I'll send it to him.
It's priceless in the Hall of Fame. There, yeah. But so it's been like a few weeks since we did one of these, and you were halfway across the world in that time. Where did you go first of all? I saw you were in Indonesia and Japan. Where did you go?
Yeah, I went to Indonesia and then I went to Japan as well, Tokyo on the way back. And I mean, both places were really cool. You know, I had some time before I was going to start my job. So, you know, I decided to just take a trip, which is really funny because whenever I post anything on Instagram, you know, a lot of my wife's friends would then text her and be like, you're in Indonesia? And my wife's like, no, I have a job.
Oh, you went solo? I didn't realize you went solo. Oh, I thought you were there with myself.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. So so they were like, dude, I don't know about this husband taking Asia without you. What the heck?
That's awesome. Well, that's sweet. You got like two completely different like things, you know?
Yeah,
like,
really, really two different ends of Asia. Yeah. You know, and you know, I, to avoid this from becoming, you know, Hal talks about a trip, which, you know, I have good memories of, but I don't know if it's that compelling of podcast material. I will tell you about my experience at the Tokyo Dome, yeah, which was wild. It was so different. So, I mean, you know, a huge portion of this has to do, I think like, if you want to understand Japanese culture, go to a baseball game. There's two ends of the spectrum, I think, which are very different from the U.S. sort of sports culture and just like culture in general. Like, you know, so first of all, like, Japanese culture is, you know, it's very polite, it's very rule oriented.
Yeah.
So that sort of manifests in a lot of the ways in like the cheering culture. So you know, first of all, like, so I went to it was a Tokyo Giants game versus I think the Yokohama DeNA Bay Fighters, I think, is the team. Uh-huh. I think it might be the team that what's his face? The
Ohtani Fuji?
The American who beat up
Trevor Bauer.
But he didn't pitch. Yeah, so I mean, so the players, I'll say the players, like, so there's only a few slots that are allotted for foreigners. So most players are Japanese. But there'll be a couple foreigners on each team. And I forget the guy in the Giants, he was some he's some journeyman minor leaguer who played a few games in the major leagues for the Rangers and the Brewers or whatever, but then he just, you know, he's like the starting starting shortstop for the Giants. So he's he gets to pick his walk-up music. And it was funny, he was picking like, you know, really explicit rap, with like N-words and stuff. But they didn't, you know, it wasn't the radio edit because no one knows English, so they don't care. But the main thing you'll notice is the outfield is the cheering section. So, you know, it's like a sold out game. It's 50,000 people in this dome built in the 80s. It felt a lot like the Humphrey Metro
Twins. Yeah. Where the Twins were.
But the entire outfield is supporter section. 3/4 of the outfield is the home team supporter section. 1/4 is the away team supporter section. And so, you know, they're divided, but, and they're standing the entire game, but still eminently polite. So, before the game started, the Bay Stars fans sung their songs. You know, they had about maybe 10 minutes of them singing their songs, and they'd like, you know, they had drums, they had trumpets, they had flags, and then they stopped. And then when they stopped, then the Giants fans stood up and took 10 minutes and sang all of their songs. Now, they didn't sing over each other. They never sang at each other. They were just singing about their teams.
Just no animosity. No, like,
no, there wasn't animosity. Yeah, and so much so that when the Giants were up to bat, the Bay Star fans sat down and were quiet and let the Giants fans do their chants and their songs, which were great. You know, they're long songs. I really loved that. You know me, I love a good chant at a baseball game. I mean, I was really pumped. We took a couple innings and we stood out in the outfield and sort of soaked it up. But as soon as the Giants, were pitching and the away team was batting, all the Giants fans sat down and were quiet and allowed the away fans to do their chants and cheers. And I couldn't imagine, right? Like, if you went to like a Yankee Stadium, and we took like 2,000 A's fans to Yankee Stadium and started chanting, they would throw garbage at us. Now, other than that, like, if you weren't in the outfield, you would not. There was no standing up. So the bottom of the first inning, the Giants hit a grand slam, and my friend and I, as the ball's in the air, we're like, oh shit, standing up, like, we didn't really care who was gonna win. Well, my friend's a San Francisco Giants fan, so I think he was more excited about the Giants, but like, oh, and it was a grand slam, and you know, like, the outfield is going nuts, everyone's clapping, but we look around and we're the only people standing.
Like,
what the, this is so weird. And then I'll say this, the other thing is like they sell noisemakers, and a lot of people have noisemakers, right? And they look like this. So if you're watching on YouTube, they look like this, but if you're listening, it's like two mini plastic mini bats with like a rope tie. And so I got them and I was like, well, these must be, you know, how are they going to make noise? Right. Cause I want to make some noise. Yeah. And I realized the way that they make noise is you just bang them together like this, is the same, like, a volume as clapping.
Yeah. I can't
it's
even
no
hear.
Louder
I can't even hear it.
You want to be, it's a polite noisemaker.
It's like a plastic golf clap.
The golf clap of noisemakers.
Well, what about the hot dog vendors? Did you like tell them?
Oh, yeah. Hey. Well, so there was an hot dog vendor. There's great food. I have to say that really good food, cheap. You know, it was cheap. Oh, the other thing was like terrible. It's very difficult to get tickets because it's they don't. It's illegal to scalp tickets. It's illegal to sell tickets above the price. And, you know, for like, I always thought of Japan as this like really advanced technological country. But like in Japan, like everyone's like you pay with everything with cash, like almost everything. They prefer cash unless it's like a really expensive restaurant bill or something. And so all the tickets are paper. They're not electronic tickets. So, you know, if you go on StubHub, like there's StubHub, you'll like look, there'll be like 8 tickets for sale. And you have to pick them up from like a post office.
So it pays to like go old school, like go to the ticket office.
Yeah, and they only charge us the face value. So that was weird.
I bet there's not dynamic pricing where they just jack it up.
Yeah, there's no dynamic pricing. The food was cheap. I mean, like the you know, it wasn't like super cheap, but like it was definitely cheaper and better than what you'd get in America. And then all the vendors are like high school or college age girls in like skirts, and they're selling beer or highballs, which is like whiskey and soda, which is what they really like in Japan. And yeah, so yeah, I talked to a couple vendors. I gave one to my baseball card, but
that's so awesome, dude.
But like, you know, clearly. Yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised if they're getting commission, but in tipping is like considered rude in Japan. And so I don't know if I would do well as a vendor in Japan. I'd be like, which, you know what? I learned that though, whenever I'd vend Otani games and there's a bunch of Japanese tourists at the Coliseum.
Yeah.
I knew I was never going to get a tip.
Yeah. It was just not part of the culture.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, here's 50 cents. I'm like, yeah. Here's my fucking. Yeah. Anyway. but you know, I think as a consumer, I really liked that there's no tipping, I think. But as a vendor, definitely that would have been a big bummer. But,
I love seeing baseball in other countries, dude. It's like a whole different experience. I've been to Panama a couple times and it's just, the fans are so much more into it and just going nuts, like after every strikeout or every, you know, it's like everything's a bigger deal. I can't.
Yeah, agree. It was cool. You know, I mean, I think what was cool too was going to a country that is so different, like culturally so different. You know, some people speak some English, but a lot of people don't speak any English. And you go and you know, it's something that you immediately, I understood everything, you know, I was like, I had to convert KPH to miles per hour for pitches, but you know, we were sitting next to some Baystar fans who had a little bit of English, and I was able to sit there and like talk about the game with them. You know, I was saying they need to take their pitcher out. You know, they need to do this. You know, I think that was, it's like a cool cultural experience. So, you know, highly recommend. If you go to Japan, well, first of all, highly recommend going to Japan. But if you do go to Japan, make sure to buy tickets to a baseball game. Do it in advance. We had so much fun. We wanted to go to another game the next day, a Swallows game. But like I said, it was too hard to get tickets. Like we couldn't find tickets the day before. So, you know, I would recommend sitting in the outfield. You know, plan on going to maybe, I would even say 2 games. It's so cool. It's really fun. They didn't have a seventh inning stretch, but between the sixth and seventh inning, a J-pop star went out to center field and like sang a song. And there wasn't like a light show or stages or anything, but it was like halftime show.
Yeah. It was like a concert.
A big act. And like, there was like definitely some like girls there who were like, trying to, you know, we were like swooning big time.
You're
like
going nuts.
Going nuts. It was a funny experience, man. It was cool. You know, I think that with that love letter to baseball, I think we have less fun things to talk about, which is baseball back in America and the We have not.
Zach Geloff, the American League Rookie of the Month, baby. The A's are coming back, baby. Lawrence Butler hit two dingers. You know, the young guys are here, you know?
Yeah, and those are great. You know, it's really, I think, that's some really bittersweet stuff, you know, because these guys are going to be Las Vegas A's, you know, and I think it's.
Yeah. I didn't even know if they're going to make it that far because there's still, I think there's still a whole nother cycle of players who's going to play for them before they get to the stadium. Like if these guys are still on the A's in 2028, 29, that'd be like borderline amazing.
You know? Oh, you know what? Yeah. They're going to be, I mean, who even knows?
Where it's like a forgotten generation of players.
But yeah, weird, you know, and I'll say this, you know, I think we've been able to sort of see on Instagram and Twitter, Zach Geloff's family seem awesome. Like,
yeah,
they seem to get it. They seem to be, they're always wearing Last Dive Bar stuff in the stands. And you know, their extended family when they came to DC, because I think they're all from Delaware. Yeah. You know, the entire Geloff family was there, and I think there was definitely maybe, you know, some people in with some Sell apparel amongst their family as well. So, you know, I doubt any of the Geloffs are listening, but man, I. If Zach Geloff ever plays for Las Vegas A's, you know, I probably won't care, but I'll root against the Las Vegas A's, but I'll always be just a huge Zach Geloff fan. You know, it's that those guys are cool. And Lawrence Butler, he seems like just a cool guy who's happy to be there, you know? And so,
if this was like a normal situation, it'd be kind of cool. You could kind of start to see it, like, you know.
Yeah, you can start to see the guys that they're going to trade in a couple years when they're good.
Yeah, you're like ready to get your heart broken again, you know. You can see the,
yeah, so you know, I've got a couch where my heart is now, so I'm trying not to.
Yeah,
it stinks.
Yeah, I mean, like Jordan Diaz and Esteri Ruiz, and like Soderstrom's been pretty awful since he came up, but like, you know. Like you could see like the next core coming, but yeah, it's not really what people are talking about right now. I mean, I think the next thing we should mention is the billboards, the massive billboards that were put up this past weekend at the Coliseum. The guys at Last Dive Bar started up a website called summerofsell.com. And if you guys haven't heard, if you go to summerofsell.com, you can basically pledge. You can say, hey, if the A's had new ownership, would you buy season tickets? Yeah. You can do these different options, and basically it becomes a dollar amount. And they're trying to show, like, you know, if John Fisher left, this is how much money they would get. So far, it's about $14 million. It's between 1,420 people. And I think it's kind of like the Daniel Snyder effect. Like, we've seen it with the Washington Commanders. Daniel Snyder sold the Washington Commanders. And now, like, the Commanders sold all their suites, all their season tickets. There's just so much interest around. I don't know if the Oakland A's fans will ever get that chance, but
yeah, I think this is an important thing to do. You know, it's an important thing. You know, I would encourage, if you're listening to the podcast and you haven't gone to summersell.com, go there and pledge what you'd buy. Obviously, you know, try and be honest. We're not going to actually collect that money from you, but I think it's an important thing to do just to document, you know, part of the interest in the A's and you know, tell your friends, tell your, you know, other season ticket holders to do it. And just to sort of know, boy, if they figured out a way to give us an expansion team or a different team or some kind of team, you know, we'd be there. You saw that I think that the mayors said that if the A's want to stay past their lease, they would, you know, the Major League Baseball would have to either like leave the A's name in Oakland or promise an expansion team. So, but I think Major League Baseball will tell them to get lost, and Oakland will tell the A's to get lost, and who knows where they'll play. I mean, they may. Honestly, they may end up playing in San Francisco, which.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I hope.
I can't imagine San Francisco, that. I can't.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. I mean, fuck them. Yeah. So,
But I just think it's so funny, like how creative, like, yeah, like the sell the team, the reverse boycott, the sell shirts, like around, you know, the All-Star game at the Giants Park, even down at Dodger Stadium. Like, I really hope like ESPN makes a 30 for 30 at some point about this. And like,
yeah, that'd be great.
And these billboards, like, I can't believe they let the billboard, I can't believe the billboard operators were like, okayed that for them to be at the Coliseum.
I've heard through the grapevine that some other billboard, people not in Oakland have thought, oh, you can't tell Doris to get her kid, but the guys in Oakland, they don't care,
dude.
It's great.
Yeah, I saw it was in Sacramento too, so I mean, yeah, they're making their voice heard. I think
the 68s will probably be releasing more information soon, but I think there'll be one sort of last hurrah, possibly the last Saturday,
the 23rd, right? Yeah.
Which I think we may not be hosting it at the Coliseum. We may be encouraging an actual boycott that game. So we'll see.
Yeah. I saw something on Reddit too. Some guy's trying to organize a big tailgate and like everybody just tailgates and doesn't go into the
stadium. Yeah. So we're still trying to figure out what's possible, I think. But I would say don't buy your tickets to the 23rd game yet. You know, we may be having fun. You know, I think where I'm at, you know, well, Tell me what you thought. You know, we finally heard from John Fisher, yeah. Although we didn't actually hear from him.
Kinda, yeah. We
had a puff piece by this coddled billionaire has decided that he's only willing to speak to a TV anchor off, you know, like on the record, but not on camera. And, you know, he said some nice things about A's fans. You know, we're very dedicated. We're passionate. But, you know, it just he tried maybe. And, you know, he's sorry it didn't work out. What was your take, Alex? How'd you feel about reading that?
Well, so first of all, like, his first interview was with Mick Akers of Las Vegas. Review Journal. And that paper is pretty much just like it's pretty indistinguishable from their PR staff at this point. It seems like they're in bed together for sure, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's
listen, I want to say one thing about Mick Akers. People give him shit. And sure, there's definitely some pieces he's written that have been kind of fucking dumb. But if I was a beat reporter for the Las Vegas newspaper, I'd be pretty excited if a baseball team was coming to my town, right? Yeah. I'd be like, hey, maybe I'll be the beat reporter, maybe I'll get to go to all the games. So you know,
well, he's like a transportation guy, I think, technically, or transportation and sports business, I think, is his.
Well, yeah, these small newspapers, they don't have a lot of people.
Yeah Well, I just think that, you know, basically in 2021, he was privy to all, every time they made a visit, he had the story. Like, basically, it seems like every time he went there, Cavill would say, call him and let him know, just so everybody else would know.
Yeah.
And then I think back on April 19th, when the news initially broke, he already had baked in quotes. And it's like, if you're a real journalist, you don't sit on, you would have just reported it. You wouldn't have waited till the A's okay, you know? So that's where I'm kind of like,
You know,
like I think if
that's,
you
know, how you get
it, if you had a line, if you have Dave Cavill and John Fisher calling you and saying, hey, I'll do an interview with you, I'd probably take it too. But it's just hard to, I don't know. It's the lines of journalism and PR are getting blurred hard here, I think. So that's why I took his interview with a grain of salt. I do give him credit. That's the most I've ever just seen John Fisher say. But you know, he said that they've, you know, put the thing, put their relocation papers in. He's not going to sell the team. He feels bad. It was his decision. So I feel bad for A's fans that I took this away from them. It was my team. So it was my first hint of accountability he's given. So I did like that, but there wasn't much pushback. And then when I was watching that Raj Mathai interview, like, I only got like the 30 seconds into it. And when Raj was like, John did not agree to have himself filmed or like recorded on audio, I was like, I just stopped watching it. I was like, well, dude, then like, what's, it's just, I don't know. Like, I don't understand, like, why a middle reliever gives him a home run in the sixth inning. He's got to talk to the media, but John Fisher, he doesn't feel like he needs to talk to the media for making this huge decision.
He's an insulated
billionaire. Like, come on, dude, get some balls, you know? Like, come on. Man.
Truly get some fucking balls. Yeah. Get some fucking balls. John, if you're going to take away this, this team from a fucking community, grow some balls. Yeah. I mean, and I also think I was pretty disappointed in that interview. I think there was not, you know, clearly, and I think Raj had explained that he had spoken to John on the phone and John had told Raj his side of the story. I think John Fisher feels hard done. He feels like, you know, he's an investor and he's trying to make his investment work. And this is clearly the best thing for his investment. And you know, the Oakland didn't do it and he's sorry, but whatever. And, you know, fine. But like, this is a community. And I think Raj, we didn't learn jack shit, you know, we didn't learn. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Raj doesn't have to take that interview. You know, he doesn't have to encourage that interview. If he's not going to allow him to push back, you know, if he's not going to allow him to be, you know, John Fisher has, you know, Catherine Akers to do his bidding. He's got the best PR people that money can buy to do his bidding. He does not need some news anchor to do his bidding. So, yeah, I thought it was pretty disappointing, but...
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, you know, it's sort of news in that he's saying he's not going to sell the team, but we knew he wasn't going to sell the team. So
yeah. And also another thing I really took issue with was he came out and said, you know, the A's lost $40 million this year despite having a $60 million payroll. But then Forbes did the math and they were like, okay, well, technically maybe the A's did, but they also got $110 million in free money basically from revenue sharing. So it's like they profited $70 million off.
Show me the books. Show me the books. Yeah. If you want to say that, show me the books. Yeah, I mean, and that's the kind of stuff that any journalist should be ready to challenge. And it wasn't challenged. So.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, to call that journalism, I think, from what you expect from your hometown journalists, really disappointing. And, you know, I get it. Like you could show up to that interview and he's not going to be recorded. So he's not going to answer any of the questions that he's not going to give you an answer to any of the follow-up questions you have. And you know, like, just don't do that interview. Just don't do it.
Yeah. Like if I was a TV guy and he said, I won't be on camera, I would be like, okay, well, no interview then. I'm not going to just like, you know, spread this propaganda. Like
I mean, I think we can sort of leave it at this, you know, it's just, we, whatever these, you know, this is the same sort of with Cavill when Cavill decided to rejoin Twitter for a day to gloat about Spitzer Steel burning down. Yeah. Like, dude, these guys are doing this, you know, they're doing this so that they, you know, the audience is their rich friends who are kind of like, hey, why are you being a dick and taking this team, you know? And he's like, I'm going to protect my investment, you know, and they're doing this to show that they're reasonable people with hearts. And it's the politicians that are, you know, that fucked up. And I will give them credit. California is, when it comes to developing projects, California is dysfunctional. It's why it's impossible to, you know, it's why the cost of housing is so high. You know, it's why my wife and I are like thinking about leaving California because like we just can't imagine affording a house that is affordable, you know, that we would like to live in. And so it's you know, there's you know, it's they're not the only John Fisher and Dave Cavill are not the only like villains here, but they are the villains who made the decision. They are the villains who who decided not to stay and fight for another couple of years when, frankly, it seems like they could have gotten it done. So, you know, they're jerks. They'll always be jerks. And, you know, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish by this, but they're just trying to make sure that all the other rich jerks who own baseball teams know that it's the problem of a diverse city council's, you know, and not their white asses. So
I just think it just really confirmed my bias that these guys are just disingenuous. Like he's saying, like, oh, well, we can't put together a good team because our stadium sucks, we're not having good revenue, but if we get this new stadium in Vegas, we're for sure going to spend money on our team. Like, I just don't believe it, especially if they're in like a minor league park for 3 or 4 years.
They won't spend money then. Not yet.
I mean, they're not going to have any revenue. So I just, the whole thing stinks. Like, they don't even know if it's going to be a dome or not. Like, I don't know. It's so half baked. It's wild to me, but it's like, these guys are bulletproof. It's like, you can't really do anything, you know?
No.
That's the part that sucks, you know? It's like,
you know, it's like another just American story, man, of like, the deck is stacked for billionaires, you know?
Yeah.
We got to get Bernie Sanders on here. I'm sure he could rail against this shit, but it's stacked against billionaires. It's stacked for people who already, you know, have a lot of shit and whatever, man.
Yeah.
I think at this point I've floated this to a couple people. I'll float this on this podcast. I don't think, you know, it's viable, but I think really at this point, you know, there's a lot of more opportunities to have fun with the Oakland community at A's games while they're here, at Roots games. I went to the Roots game this weekend. I had a great time. There's a lot of good people there having a great time enjoying Oakland sports. But, you know, I think if what we're trying to do is keep the A's in Oakland, I think the only sort of hope is that referendum, attempt to get a referendum in Nevada. And I think for that to happen, A's fans would probably have to raise in the realm of hundreds of thousands of dollars, like $500,000-$600,000. You know, I think it's partly a collective action problem. If all A's fans, you know, if we get all the A's fans in one room together and talk about it, we might be able to get that amount of money. But you know, and I think if there's people out there who are listening to this and are like, yeah, I want to organize, you know, I want to organize, I want to, you know, flyer every A's game in the final homestand to try and convince people to not renew their season tickets and instead send that money to stadiums over or schools over stadiums, we might be able to get done. I think it's just going to be a ton of work. And, you know, I was talking to my wife about it too. And it's like, this is sports. It's not supposed to be this hard. It's not supposed to, you know, this is not.
Yeah, it feels like a political, two political parties.
It just makes me sick that this thing that, you know, I think the reason why I loved being a hot dog vendor was like, you got to see so much joy in people's faces every day. You know, I would trick little kids into having joy by giving them a card of mine because they're idiots and think that I'm famous.
Just dunking on kids here. Jeez.
But, hey, it's easy to dunk on 5-year-olds. But like, you know, I mean, like, just kids and like adults just being at a sporting event. It's just so much fun and it's just so much joy and it's so much community. And, you know, when the A's would win, just people would just, you know, it sucks that it's become this political bullshit. And it's just like part of this thing where you just feel like these billionaires have all the power. And the only thing you could do is like, maybe we could organize our entire fan base to try and, you know, collect $500,000 to then maybe get a proposition, which might pass, which then who even fucking knows what would happen. You know, like it's just,
they could be gone by then, you know, I don't know.
I mean, these guys just, you know, I just wish nothing but the worst for John Fisher and Dave Cavill. It's just horrible to see what they've done. So
yeah, and Well, I was like, hey, if you get like a stadium full of people, like 50,000 people to give $10 each, there's your $500,000, dude. This can't be that hard, right?
Can't be that hard. You just have to go around with easy. Easy.
It's
no
like
problem.
The church thing. Just go around with a wicker basket, you know, and just get a little money from everybody at the end of the game, you know?
Like I said, if we put this podcast out and there's 15 people who DM me and are like, I want to dedicate the next month of my life to collecting this money. I would love to help organize it, but I don't know if we can do it, you know? And the worst, like my worst fear is like, what if we collect $50,000, you know, like, and I've gotten $50,000 of people's money and that doesn't buy shit when it comes to a referendum, you know, it's whatever.
If you guys want to learn more about schools over stadiums, we had their director of strategy, Alexander Marks, on last episode. So definitely check that out. He kind of lays out the group's vision and why they formed. And
I trust them. I think that they, I don't know. But, one thing I wanted to do, the season's wrapping up.
Before we do this, I wanted to get one more thing off my chest.
This
is my guy grinding my gears, you know. So
grind away, Alex. Let's go, baby.
Is like you were talking about how like the cards are stacked against the A's and or the A's fans, I guess. Not the A's. Or Oakland A's fans is this MLB relocation committee that Rob Manfred has appointed. It's like part of it is this Brewers owner who's trying to get a new ballpark, the Kansas City owner who's trying to get a new ballpark, and Phillies, who I think they're fine, but it's like a cop is trying to arrest another cop. Like, he's not going to do anything, you know?
It's exactly like that. That's a great analogy, Alex. It's like the cops investigating when a police officer is.
Oh, he did no wrong here. This is good. We're good to go. No problem. The oversight committee.
He's doing good police work. He felt threatened. That poor Oakland City Council threatened him. People have rightly said that an expansion team would do better in Vegas. I think that's right. People have rightly said that Major League Baseball is leaving a ton of money on the table by not collecting an expansion team for Las Vegas. I think that's right. But at the end of the day, you know, that's just some money divided up 30 ways. What's worth hundreds of millions of dollars to every Major League Baseball owner is for them to, when they say, hey, my 20-year-old stadium, you know, which isn't even old enough to drink, needs $1 billion renovation. You know, they want to be able to point to a city. They're going to point to Oakland and they're going to say, Oakland, look at Oakland there, but for the grace of God, go you. And if you don't give me $1 billion, I'm going to do the same thing that we did to Oakland, which is not even give them a warning. You know, which is to just one day say, we're gone. You know, I won't call you up and ask for your best offer. I'm just going to one day say, hey, I'm moving to Charlotte. So if anyone out there thinks that the MLB owners are going to save our asses, I got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you. I mean, it ain't happening, man.
MLB, I just wonder if MLB is eventually going to be ruined by money and like, I don't know. I mean, maybe it already kind of is, but yeah, I mean, people can just be like, you know, the A's were there 55 years and they left, so we're going to leave after 25. Like, what's the big deal, you know?
I think viewership and attendance is up because of the rule changes, but MLB is kind of over for me, you know? Yeah. It was a huge part of my life, you know, as a fan, as a kid, and then, you know, as a vendor, like, I vended some other events, some football, but like, you know, it was mostly baseball, and I've been to a lot of baseball games in my life, and you know, I think it's just over for me.
It's hard to take it off. Like the past couple of months, I just kind of watched games here and there, which is wild to me. I pretty much was locked into the A's every year, but it's just not the same, and they're not good. You know, I mean, they're just it's tough to watch. You know, so It's
they're
the whole
bad,
thing
and like we said, you know, the positive parts is it's hard to get excited about. You know, it's hard to get excited about Lawrence Butler because, you know, he's not. You know, I remember talking when I first doing the hot dog gig. I started vending Coliseum in 2016. I first did the hot dog gig in 2017. And so that's when I started really talking to Ace fans. And I remember talking to them. And then, you know, and they weren't good 2017. But they were, you know, they were saying, you know, I had one fan who said, I'd much rather be an Ace fan than a Giants fan right now because, you know, the Giants, they're old and they're imploding. You know, we got all these young guys.
Yeah, that's when Olsen and Chapman were coming up and everything.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun to watch them. And it's not fun to watch. It's just not that fun to watch Zach Geloff. It's not that fun to watch Lawrence Butler, because like, yeah, I mean, I guess they'll probably be in Oakland again next year, but like, it's gonna be. I don't
know. Yeah, it's hard to get invested in guys who you don't really, you know. I mean, it's like a short term.
How much
like
worse is the attendance
line's coming up, and they're going to be gone anyways?
How like, worse is the attendance going to be next year? You know, like just. So speaking of the A's sucking, if fans of this podcast will remember,
diehards,
not the first episode this season. I suggested we do a war draft where we each draft. We drafted 9 players each, and we said whoever has the most war at the end of the season wins. So you know, I added up some of the war from each of our 9 players. I have the results. Let's go through them. This will be fun to remember what we thought about. When we were excited about, you know, hearing, you know, potentially more binding votes for Howard Terminal. You know, some of these players no longer play for the A's, and some of these players have accumulated stats for other teams. I've decided to count all of their stats because, frankly, we need it.
We need any number we can get, positive or negative. Yeah.
Alex, do you remember the first person you drafted?
Tony. No, I think I honestly don't. I have no idea.
You drafted Ramon Laureano.
Woo! Yeah. You know.
I have great news for you. He has 1.1 B war.
Okay. Okay.
That's almost at the end of the season. I believe B war says 2 to 3 B war is starter. So he's almost as good as a starter. I picked Seth Brown. I believe I called him the big bopper.
He's still on the team. Let's go.
He's still on the team. And positive war, 0.3 war. Your next pick. Last year's All-Star, Paul Blackburn, 1.6 war.
Okay. Great. Almost two. He's almost a starter. Let's go.
Almost a starter. First of all, you're it. What are you at? 2.7 war? Holy moly.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. I picked Tony Kemp, negative 0.8 war. I'm now in the negatives.
That's too bad. Oh, man. Jesus.
I am now in the negatives. All right. My next pick, Shea Langeliers. Young guy, 0.6 war. All right.
0.6 positive?
0.6 positive.
Pretty good.
Your next pick. Almaris Diaz.
Aledimus, yeah.
Aledimus.
Yeah.
A swing and a miss.
Yeah.
Negative 0.9 war.
Woo. Yeah.
Well,
he's been rough to watch. He can't even throw the ball across the diamond, dude. He does. Yeah. I've the first shortstop I've seen do consistent bounce passes. And I'm like, what are you doing, bro?
He's not good. All right. Your next pick, James Kaprielian. Yeah. Negative 0.3 war.
Oh my gosh.
Below replacement.
Oh my God.
But at least you didn't pick my fourth pick, who's by far the worst pick in this draft. Shintaro Fujinami.
Oh my God. Poor
negative
guy.
Negative two war.
Oh my God. So he's like a starter for the other team.
Yeah. He's a starter for the other team. And that other team is whoever. Yeah. He's not only is he not on the A's, he was pitching for the other team even before he got traded. So after four players, you're at one war. I'm at negative 2.4 war.
Fuji really killed the team there, dude.
He really hurt. All right. All right. Next for me, Jesus Aguilar. Negative 0.5 war. Next for you, Ken Waldichuk. Negative 0.5 war.
Oh my God.
Next for you, Jace Peterson. Negative 0.2 war.
Jace Peterson. What was I thinking? I was like believing in their
the next pick for me. And now this is controversial. Now I'll say this is controversial. Christian Pache.
he never played
for the A's this season. However, before he got injured, because I don't think he's playing anymore, right? He's injured.
I don't know. Last I heard, he's on the Phillies. I haven't really been paying attention since then. Right? But
let's fact check ourselves. I mean, we after all, we are an A's news podcast.
I thought I really picked Esteri Ruiz. I'm surprised I did not.
You did not.
That's a shock.
I'm sorry. If you'd like to go back, too
big
bad.
Shock.
He just came back.
The Pache's last back, years. Baby.
He got injured in July. He's now back. He has plus one war for the Phillies. Now, I'm not sure I get to count that for my team. However.
Yeah, you kind of just need, we kind of need points here. Yeah.
I'm desperately in need of war. So I'm going to give it to myself. Your next pick. Almost as bad as Diaz. Drew Rushinsky.
That's got to be the worst pick of that. That's got to be my worst pick, right?
Negative 0.8 war.
Oh, my God. I think he only made four starts. I was looking. He pitched 18 innings, and he's basically been hurt all year. Poor guy. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I wrote a whole article before the season. I was like, oh, this is why Drew Rushinsky is better than Fuji, because he never misses starts.
And you were right. You were right. Almost more than twice as good as Fuji.
But my reasoning was that he never misses starts. I was like, oh, this guy's so durable. Yeah.
Yeah,
so. Not so much.
My next pick, Trevor May, who I'll always remember him as the guy on the mound at the end of the reverse boycott game. So love him. 0.4 war.
I thought he would be higher, honestly. I thought he's been doing decent.
Highest paid player on the team. My next pick, Zach Jackson. 0.6 war.
Dude, I think our highest guy is like 1.5 so far.
Paul Blackburn, 1.6, yeah. Zach Jackson has pitched in 19 games this season. Has not pitched since May. So far, my third best player after the Phillies, Christian Pache, and Shea Langeliers. Your next player, Domingo Acevedo.
Oof, brutal.
Negative 0.7 war.
I thought he was going to be the next Yusmeiro Petit and be pitching like 70 games this year, but he's been hurting too.
Nine games.
Yeah.
He's not pitched since May 3rd. My final pick, Nick Allen. Do you want to guess if he's positive or negative?
I'm going to say negative. That dude can't hit, poor guy.
He somehow has with his batting average, a point. He's got a 210 batting average. an OPS plus of 52, but I guess his glove is good enough. He's 0.1 more.
52.
He's replacement, baby.
Who was my last pick, or is that it for me?
Your last pick, Danny Jimenez.
Oh, man. When I hear these names, I'm like, oh, what happened to the A's? He's been like up and down all year too. Yeah.
Yeah. Positive 0.2 war.
So who won?
So I, even with that one, that gimme, that one war from Christian Pache, still negative, negative 0.3 war total. However, you had a lead, but your last couple picks, all these relievers, did not go well for you.
Oh, my God.
Negative 0.5 war.
Oh, my God. There. I can't believe you won with a negative 0.3.
It's not going to change much because players are no longer playing.
Oh, my God. Well, dude, I'm just looking right now at the list. And so Ryan Noto is actually number one on the team right now, 2.4.
Yeah.
JP Sears got 2.1, and Geloff's only been here for a couple of months. He's already number three on the team at 1.7. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I mean, well, I do not feel good about that win. That win was basically me just avoiding disasters. except for Fuji. And somehow deciding that the Philadelphia Phillies Christian Pache was going to have an okay season despite being injured for most of it.
It's so funny hearing those names. It's like they were last year. I was like, no, that was like 3 months ago.
Because I mean, it really does feel like last year because I think this is now almost an hour long podcast, and we barely actually talked about the A's. But it feels like so long ago because it was a time before the A's had said they were going to leave. So, I think everything changed after that. You know, we fought hard. We tried to fight hard, with Vegas and the reverse boycott and that, they just don't care. So, like I said, if a bunch of people think my idea of trying to raise a bunch of money for schools over stadiums is a good idea, reach out. But other than that, I think, mark down the last Saturday home game. I believe we may call for an actual boycott. If you stayed,
so pay for parking, but don't pay for your ticket. Maybe.
Oh, maybe. I might not even be at the Coliseum, but I think that's what we're going to try and do. Take BART, baby. I mean, take BART anything.
Yeah.
Support public transportation, Alex. Come on. Other than that, I think I'd like to thank you for encouraging us to do another episode. I'm sure we'll do one more or two more.
One or two more before the season. Maybe we'll do a season wrap-up pod or something.
We'll do a wrap-up pod. Maybe we'll invite the Texas Rangers beat reporter. What's his name? The guy we had on at the beginning of the season?
Texas Rangers.
The Chronicle. Oh, no, he works for the Astros now, or the Astros.
Matt Kawahara?
Yeah, Matt Kawahara. We can have Matt Kawahara come on. He was our intro pod. We can bring him on, and he can talk about how the Astros did.
Even Matt got traded. Jeez, everybody got traded.
I mean, everyone got traded. I mean, what a...
Yeah, I want to say thank you to everybody. The past few weeks, I've had a few people in different times, come up to be like, yo, when's the next pod coming out? I want to hear the next pod. So I appreciate the support. I know we've been slacking, but we're both busy guys with our full-time jobs and such now. Yeah, so,
it's just depressing to think about.
All right. Well, thanks, Al. That was great, dude. And hopefully see you on the 23rd.
We'll see you on the 23rd, and we'll see you guys on the pod at least one or two more times this season.
Absolutely. All right. Take care, y'all.